Hey guys, I'm Staria.
I'm Angel, and we are the Daring Mormons.
And we push ourselves beyond our comfort zone.
Good morning, you sweet angels out there.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. We're in a mood this morning.
Oh, wonderful one, wonderful one. We just want to invite you. So, Starry and I just started off with a prayer. I want to invite you before you start listening to this podcast to say a prayer on your own and just to invite the Spirit in so that it may teach you and that you may learn from us. I don't know how much you will learn from us, but you will learn from us.
Yeah, we're so excited to be here again. This is, well, I don't know about Angel, but I definitely look forward to doing this every Sunday. It's a great way to start our day. So let's dive into it.
All right. So I'll be your teacher today. I know you wanted Staria, but you're going to have to settle with me, okay? So we're in the Book of Mormon and also the Book of Mormon. So the Book of Mormon, Mormon. Starry just looked at me. What you gotta say, then?
No, you said it right. You know, we're in the Book of Mormon within the Book of Mormon.
Exactly. So we're gonna start with Mormon chapter 7, and we're gonna read, actually we're not gonna read chapter 7 quite yet. We're gonna go Mormon chapter 8 verse 12 to 22. And once we're reading that, it says, one way to introduce discussion about the great worth of the Book of Mormon is to talk about how we determine the value of an item. How does knowing the value of something change the way we use it? Okay? So keep in mind as you read, how does knowing the value of something change the way that you view that thing?
Interesting. All right, do you want me to start this?
Yep, chapter 8.
Verse 12. Mm-hmm. And whoso receiveth this record, one shall not condemn it because of the imperfections which are in it. The same shall know of greater things than these. Behold, I am Moroni, and were it possible, I would make all things known unto you. Behold, I make an end of speaking concerning this people. I am the son of Mormon, and my father was a descendant of Nephi.
And I am the same who hideth up the records unto the Lord. The plates thereof are of no worth because of the commandment of the Lord. For he truly saith that no one shall have them to get gain, but the record thereof is of great worth, and whoso shall bring it to light, him will the Lord bless. For none can have power to bring it to light, save it be given him of God. For God wills that it shall be done with an eye single to his glory, or the welfare of the ancient and long dispersed covenant people of the Lord.
And blessed be he that shall bring this thing to light, for it shall be brought out of darkness unto light, according to the word of God. Yea, it shall be brought out of the earth, and it shall shine forth out of darkness, and come unto the knowledge of the people, and it shall be done by the power of God. And if there be faults, they be the faults of a man. But behold, we know no fault. Nevertheless, God knoweth all things. Therefore, he that condemneth, let him be aware, lest he shall be in danger of hellfire.
And he that saith, show unto me, or ye shall be smitten, let him beware, lest he commandeth that which is forbidden of the Lord. For behold, the same that judgeth rashly shall be judged rashly again. For according to his works shall his wages be, therefore he that smiteth shall be smitten again of the Lord.
Behold, what the scripture says, man shall not smite, neither shall he judge, for judgment is mine, saith the Lord, and vengeance is mine also, and I will repay. And he that shall breathe out wrath and strifes against the work of the Lord and against the covenant people of the Lord, who are the house of Israel, and shall say, we will destroy the work of the Lord, and the Lord will not remember his covenant which he had made unto the house of Israel. The same is in danger to be hewn down and cast into the fire.
For the eternal purpose of the Lord shall roll on until all his promises shall be fulfilled. All right, so I don't know if you guys are reading along or not, but this scripture, like, these scriptures are really cool. They were less confusing than the ones last week. Last week was a struggle. But this one I understand very clearly. It says that, you know, the plates were hidden, and whoever finds them, you know, is blessed of God. The plates are worth a lot of money. It's written on gold.
Well, I'm glad someone understood that. Literally, while we were reading, I was like, what are we reading? I don't understand the item that we're talking about.
So just to recap, so Mormon takes the plates and he hides them up into a hill. And he's saying that, like, these plates are worth, it's all written on gold. And he didn't say that, but it is. It's all written on gold, so it's worth a lot of money. So if anyone got these plates and decided to sell them, they would automatically be so wealthy. But he's saying that also, like, God isn't going to just let anyone find them. The anointed or the person that's supposed to find it is going to find it. And that person is going to be highly trusted of God. And if they do break that trust with God, then they will be smitten, or the judgment will be placed on them. And if anyone, you know, force the person or takes it away from that person, the same judgment, you know, will be given to that person, which is pretty harsh, it sounds like.
Dang. Okay.
So, babe, what does this tell you about, like, the value of the Book of Mormon?
Well, that it's really high. But, well, I'm just thinking about what we're supposed to think about. Wait, can you repeat that?
So, it's basically that. How does knowing the value of something change the way we use it?
So I feel like when you know the value of something, you protect it a little bit more than you normally would. So if we're going to bring this into modern day, when we get a new piece of technology, like a phone or a laptop or a camera, we treat that thing like it's our kid. We're making sure we don't get any scratches on it. We don't drop it. Like, we do not want anything to happen to it. And I guess I'm thinking of that because I have a lot of precious technology. But to think of the scriptures, like, if I had to take care of the scriptures, I'd probably be so stressed out, because I know that the value is so high and that it's worth so much, and that it holds records that are just so important to be passed along. And if I lost it, I would be, oh my gosh, I'd feel bad. Like, I'd feel so bad for the rest of eternity.
Thanks, babe, for sharing. I've seen her stressed out, and it's pretty, pretty scary. But no, that was perfectly said. The scriptures is super important, and, you know, it blesses your life daily. So, like, I think a lot of us don't appreciate the value of the scriptures. Like, my Book of Mormon, I'm not gonna lie, like, it's beat around a lot. And although the more I learn the value of it, I treat it a little better, but still, it's still not treated that great. But, you know, that's such is life.
Confession time.
Confession time. So what have you done to the Book of Mormon? But yeah, so now we're actually going to move on to Mormon chapter 7, verse 8 to 10. So in these verses, we are going to compare scriptures. So you're going to take the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and you're going to think about how they're best used together. And it may not all be revealed in this specific verses, but as we continue, I want you to keep that in mind. So take it away, babe.
Do you want me to read all three?
Yes. Okay. You can read two, and I can read the last one.
Okay.
8 to 10. Mm-hmm. Isn't that just two verses?
8, 9, 10. Therefore, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and lay hold upon the gospel of Christ, which shall be set before you, not only in this record, but also in the record which shall come unto the Gentiles from the Jews, which record shall come from the Gentiles unto you. For behold, this is written for the intent that ye may believe that, and if ye believe that, ye will believe this also. And if ye believe this, ye will know concerning your fathers, and also the marvelous works which were wrought by the power of God among them.
And you will also know that you are a remnant of the seed of Jacob. Therefore, you are numbered among the people of the first covenant. And if it so be that ye believe in Christ and are baptized, first with water and with fire and with the Holy Ghost, following the examples of our Savior, according to that which he had commanded us, it shall be well with you in the day of judgment. Amen. So in those three verses, or is it two? No, three verses, you see the comparison that he makes. Not necessarily a comparison, but he talks about how there's a book coming forward, and like he talks about the two documents that are coming forward from the two different people. And if you pay close attention, he's talking about the Book of Mormon and the Bible, and how when we use them as a combination, how it blesses our life tremendously. So it's not saying one's greater than the other, but it's saying once you use them together, there's a strong testament of, you know, the teachings of Christ and what we're supposed to do to return to live with our Father in heaven.
And that's what I love so much about, you know, this faith, being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is that we have both those books. And that's a common question that I get when people, you know, find out that I'm a member of this church. They're like, so why do you guys have the Book of Mormon? Like, but you guys still read the Bible. And it's because, like, they go hand in hand. And, you know, you'll find that a lot of lessons that you are a part of, that you're listening to, they, you know, they refer back to the Bible a lot for many stories. So yeah, it's just, it's kind of cool to see how they connect. Also, if you're hearing noise in the background, Luna is in the room with us. She wants to be a part of the podcast.
All right, so we're going to move on now. And in the chapter heading here, it says, we can be faithful even when we are alone. And for those of you who don't know, Moroni spends a lot of his time alone with the scriptures, and he goes through tremendous battles. I mean, if you think about it, really, there's anxiety, there's depression, there's all the stuff that we face now. It did exist back then, so you could imagine him being alone and just like having to defend and hold on to the scriptures and like and that journey. And so we're going to read Mormon chapter 8 verse 1 through 11, and keep in mind as you read what struggles he's going through alone. And I know there's a lot of you guys out there that maybe feel alone, especially now during the holiday seasons and things like that. It's easy to feel alone. You may be struggling with different mental issues or health issues and things like that, and in those things you may feel alone. But as you read, as we read these terms, I mean these verses, just stay true and think about how, you know, you relate to what he's going through.
All right, starting at the beginning of chapter 8. Behold, I, Moroni, do finish the record of my father, Mormon. Behold, I have but few things to write, which things I have been commanded by my father. And now it came to pass that after the great and tremendous battle at Cumorah, behold, the Nephites who had escaped into the country southward were hunted by the Lamanites until they were all destroyed.
And my father also was killed by them, and I even remain alone to write, and to write the sad tales of the destruction of my people. But behold, they are gone, and I fulfilled the commandment of my father. And whether they will slay me, I know not. Therefore, I will write and hide up the records in the earth, and whither I go, it matter not.
Behold, my father hath made this record, and he hath written the intent thereof. And behold, I would write it also if I had room upon the plates, but I have not. And or I have none, for I am alone. My father hath been slain in battle, and all my kinsfolk, and I have not friends nor whither to go. And how long the Lord will suffer that I may live, I know not. Behold, 400 years have passed away since the coming of our Lord and Savior.
And behold, the Lamanites have hunted my people, the Nephites, down from city to city, from place to place, even until they are no more. And great has been their fall. Yea, great and marvelous is the destruction of my people, the Nephites. And behold, it is the hand of the Lord which had done it. And behold, also, the Lamanites are at war, one with another, and the whole face of this land is one continual round of murder and bloodshed, and no one knoweth the end of the war.
And now behold, I say no more concerning them, for there are none save it be the Lamanites and robbers that do exist upon the face of the land. And there are none that do know the true God, save it be the disciples of Jesus, who did tarry in the land until the wickedness of the people was so great that the Lord would not suffer them to remain with the people. And whether they be upon the face of the land, no man knoweth.
But behold, my Father and I have seen them, and they have ministered unto us. Whoa.
That was deep.
Super deep. Talking about just a rough time. Like, this guy, his father gives him these sacred plates and say, hey, make sure to protect these. But not only that, he loses everyone he loves and cares about in battle. And not only that, but he's stuck in the wilderness and he's by himself, has nowhere to go, doesn't know where the Lord needs him to be. And he's just out there, and he's like, I don't know how long I'll live. I don't know if I'll even do what I need to do, but I know it needs to be done, and I just know I need to keep living and go as far as I can. And so imagine how alone you would feel during this time.
Seriously. That's, and like, in that day, that, like, struggling with stuff like that, like sadness and, well, just emotions in general, wasn't really, like, thought about very often like it is nowadays. So that's just a struggle within the struggle.
Babe, how do you think the gospel can help people that feel alone?
Well, I mean, the power of prayer is where I think it helps, because you always have the opportunity, literally any time of day, to pray to God and ask, or literally just talk. Sometimes I have prayers that are so casual. I'm just talking to God like he's sitting in the room with me. And, you know, I have experienced, like, tremendous loneliness before, where I literally didn't have anyone around me that I knew. And there were some days that it was hard, you know, because everyone, I mean, when you're alone, like, actually alone and isolated, you feel it at some point. And prayer is the one thing that I learned that I can always do. I mean, obviously reading the scriptures too helps, you know, because you feel the Spirit so strongly when you read the scriptures, especially if you open it with the intent to allow the Spirit in. It can help you to not feel alone. When you feel the Spirit, you don't feel alone. You feel like God is right there next to you. And I can say, through, like, the hardest things I've gone through in life, I always feel like God is sitting right there next to me. Even though I can't see him, I, like, can feel his presence. And it's because I'm praying to him and I'm asking for him to be there with me and to help comfort me.
Beautifully said. Very beautifully said. And, I'm not going to add anything to that. That was awesome. So we're going to move on to the next chapter. Well, the next subheading under this chapters that we're reading. The Book of Mormon was written for our day is what it's named. And so we're going to read Mormon chapter 8, verse 26 to 41. And in this, just keep in mind, like, why was the Book of Mormon written for our day, and how does it affect us?
Starting at 26.
Yes, ma'am.
And no one need say that shall not come, for they surely shall, for the Lord hath spoken it. For out of the earth shall they come, by the hand of the Lord, and none can stay it. And it shall come in a day when it shall be said that miracles are done away, and it shall come even as if one should speak from the dead. And it shall come in a day when the blood of saints shall cry unto the Lord because of secret combinations and the works of darkness.
Yeah, it shall come in the day when the power of God shall be denied, and churches become defiled, and be lifted up in the pride of their hearts. Yeah, even in the day when leaders of the church and teachers shall rise in the pride of their hearts, even the envying of them who belong to their churches. Yeah, it shall come in a day when there shall be heard of fires and tempests and vapors of smokes in the foreign lands.
And there shall also be heard of wars, rumors of wars, and earthquakes in divers places. Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be great pollutions upon the face of the earth. There shall be murders and robbings and lying and deceivings and whoredoms and all manner of abominations. When there shall be many who will say, do this or do that, and it mattereth not, for the Lord will uphold such at the last day. But woe unto such, for they are in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity.
Yeah, it shall come in a day when there shall be churches built up that shall say, come unto me for your money, you shall be forgiven of your sins. O ye wicked and perverse and stiff-necked people, why have you built up churches unto yourself to get gain? Why have you transfigured the holy word of God, that ye may bring damnation upon your souls? Behold, look ye unto the revolution of God, revelation of God. For behold, the time cometh at that day when all these things must be fulfilled.
Behold, the Lord has shown unto me great and marvelous things concerning that which must shortly come, at that day when these things shall come forth among you. Behold, I speak unto you as if ye were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ has shown you unto me, and I know your doing.
And I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts, and there are none save a few only who do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts unto the wearing of very fine apparel, unto envying and strifes and malice and persecutions and all manner of iniquities, and your churches, yeah, even everyone have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts. Still my turn, right? For behold, ye do love money and your substance and your fine apparel and the adoring of your churches more than you love the poor and the needy and the sick and the afflicted.
O ye pollutions, ye hypocrites, ye teachers who sell yourselves for that which will canker, why have ye polluted the holy church of God? Why are ye ashamed to take upon you the name of Christ? Why do ye not think that greater is the value of an endless happiness than that misery which never dies because of the praise of the world? Why do ye adorn yourselves with that which hath no life, and yet suffer the hungry and the needy and the naked and the sick and the afflicted to pass by you and notice them not?
Yeah, why do ye build up your secret abominations to get gain and cause that the widows should mourn before the Lord, and also orphans to mourn before the Lord, and also the blood of their fathers and their husbands to cry unto the Lord for the ground, for vengeance upon your head? Behold, the sword of vengeance hangeth over you, and the time soon cometh that he avengeth the blood of the saints upon you, for he will not suffer their cries any longer. Wow, holy cow, this is awesome.
Okay, can I say one thing off the bat? In verse 31, it says, when there shall be many who will say, do this or do that, and it mattereth not, for the Lord will uphold such at the last day. That reminds me of a very interesting experience that I had, which I don't even want to tell the whole story because it was just really kind of sad that people actually think that you can do anything on this earth, and you, as long as you believe God is true, you'll get into heaven, like you'll get to the highest, you know, you'll be able to live with him again. yeah, I had someone come knock on my door, and they were just preaching about how Mormons are wrong and how you can do whatever you want. You can lie, steal, cheat, you can do whatever. But as long as you believe in Christ, you'll be able to live with him again. And it was just so sad to hear this person preach this, because, like, that's not right, you know? Like, that's why repentance is in place. That's why we have to, when we make mistakes, we need to go into God and tell him that we did make that mistake and that we want forgiveness so that we can do better. Anyway, I just, that experience popped into my head that, you know, that's not really how it works. You know, you can't just go off and do whatever you want. Like, that's, we need to stay away from those temptations and those bad things of the world and try to be the best that we can, because, you know, that's what we should all try to do, is be more Christ-like.
Yeah. Seriously, like, it doesn't, like, in these times, especially, the Book of Mormon is so important. The scriptures are so important. And as we were reading through those verses, it's crazy because it literally says that it lists all the stuff that are going on in today's day, like maxed out. And it just says that this book is written for this time. And as you read through it, you're just like, holy cow, like, all of this stuff is happening in today's day. And things are getting crazier and crazier. And people are drifting further and further away from the teachings of God and the teachings of, you know, the Holy Ghost. And they're believing more in the teachings of man. And that's just a tough spot to be in, because man is always going to be, you know, secondary to God. And you can become in a very lonely, sad spot when your focus isn't focused on the Savior and his teachings and on returning to live with your Father in heaven. So that really hit me in these verses when it says, like, this book is written for these times. So if you are struggling with, it could be depression, anxiety, loneliness, any kind of thing, just keep in mind that this book is written for these times. And so dive deeper into the scriptures, dive deeper into understanding and trusting God. And not saying that that will fix the issues, but it definitely will help you to feel less alone.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome. So we're going to move further on in this lesson. We're coming to an end here pretty soon, but there's a few verses. This one we won't read because it's Mormon chapter 1 to 30, so that's the entire chapter. But it does want us to focus on what kind of things happen when we have a lack of belief in Christ. So I don't know if you guys want to ponder that for this week and think about, you know, when you had a stronger belief in Christ, how your life was, and when you didn't, how it impacted you then. Babe, is there anything you want to add on to that specifically?
Can you repeat that again? Just like the first way that you phrased it.
When you believe in Christ, like, how does that impact your life?
Well, I think it goes with the whole, since we've been talking about, like, loneliness and bad things and, you know, I think just believing in Christ and drawing nearer to him, you feel that comfort and peace and direction as well, more than if you didn't have that belief. I feel like, because both me and Angel have experience with, you know, straying away from the church, so we both know what it feels like to not be drawing closer to Christ, and it's definitely a different feeling. I mean, I can't speak for Angel, but for me, it is a lonelier world, and I feel like I struggle to make decisions a little bit more because I don't have the Spirit helping to guide me in, like, a safer direction or something, you know, like, just, well, like, we travel a lot, and I was doing some traveling when I was kind of taking a break from the church, and I just feel like the difference with doing that and now doing what I can to draw as close to him as possible, I feel
more confident in my day-to-day life and making decisions. And when I'm in a situation where I don't know what I'm doing, maybe I'm lost on the road or something, I feel more confident that I'll be able to get through it. And I think the best thing is that knowing that there is someone that is constantly watching over you, who is constantly going to be there to listen to you. If you have questions, if you need help, if you need comfort, if you need to pray for someone else to feel some peace or comfort, like, he is there all the time. And I think that's so amazing. I would never want to go back to not drawing close to him, because to me, it's a lonelier world for me, you know, and that's just how I feel.
Beautifully said. All right, so in the next verses we're going to read Romans chapter 9 verse 1 through 6. Now in these verses, these were written specifically for non-believers of Christ, and it talks about kind of how, at least the lesson says, it talks about how they will feel in the last days and like when it comes to judgment. And then it says to ponder on how you members may find helpful. Okay, it says, looking for words or phrases that describe how the wicked will feel on that day. What can we do to avoid these feelings? So as we read through this, think about how you personally can, what can you do to avoid the feelings that we're going to read about right now.
And now I speak also concerning those who do not believe in Christ. Behold, will ye believe in the day of your visitation? Behold, when the Lord shall come, yea, even that great day when the earth shall be rolled together as a scroll, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Yea, in that great day when ye shall be brought to stand before the Lamb of God, when will ye say that there is no God?
Then will ye longer deny, to Christ, or can you behold the Lamb of God? Do you suppose that ye shall dwell with him under the consciousness of your guilt? Do ye suppose that ye could be happy to dwell with the Holy Being when your souls are racked with a non-consciousness of guilt that ye have ever abused his law? Holy wow, that was a lot. Behold, I say unto you that ye would be more miserable to dwell with a holy and just God under a consciousness of your filthiness before him than ye would to dwell with the damned souls in hell.
For behold, when ye shall be brought to see your nakedness before God, and also the glory of God, and the holiness of Jesus Christ, it will kindle a flame of unquenchable fire upon you. O then, ye unbelieving, turn ye unto the Lord, cry mightily unto the Father in the name of Jesus, that perhaps ye may be found spotless, pure, fair, and white, having been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb at the great and last day.
Whoa. Well, that is a lot of wrath and like really bad feelings. And I think it's pretty straightforward that it says, hey, you know, these are your time to kind of learn about Jesus Christ, learn about God, learn about the Holy Ghost, and grow. Because I think, and this is just my thought, but I think all these things, learning to listen to the Spirit, learning to feel the love of Jesus Christ, and learning to be loved by God, is something that we will need in the next life to continue to grow. Because this is a shot in the dark, but like people, if you think about all the people that have never really been through growing up in like a loving environment or loving place, they carry that anger, like hatred, with them, and it creates kind of like a bitterness where people that are raised in like a loving environment, you start to learn how to love from a younger age, and like that love carries forward with you. And I think it's the same thing with here on earth. Like, as we learn to be loved, we will continue to show greater love after this life. But as we, you know, as we hold anger and hatred and frustration in this life, we will end up taking that in the next life. And I can't imagine standing before God and being a bitter, angry person and being surrounded by so much love. I feel like it would just feel so uncomfortable. But those are just my thoughts. So that's what I got from these verses. And so you may have gotten something completely different, but those are just kind of some things that came to mind as I was reading. All right, so any thoughts on that, babe, or?
No, I think that you pretty much covered it.
Okay, cool. So many people today believe that miracles have ceased. Can you use Moroni's teachings to help your class members believe in God of miracles? You might start by asking class members to review Mormon chapter 9, verse 7 to 26. And look for miracles that Moroni urged us to believe in. What do we learn from these verses about God and his work in our day? What must we do in order for God to work miracles? What miracles have we seen? All right, so that's all found in chapter 9, verse 7 to 26. And I can start from chapter 9, verse 7 to 26. And again, I speak unto you who deny the revelations of God and say that they are done away, and there are no revelations, nor prophecies, nor gifts, nor healing, nor speaking with tongues and the interpretations of tongues. Behold, I say unto you that denieth these things, knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yeah, he has not read the scriptures. If so, he does not understand them.
For who do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing? And now, if ye have imagined up unto yourselves a God who doth vary, and in whom there is a shadow of changing, then have ye imagined up unto yourselves a God who is not a God of miracles.
But behold, I will show unto you a God of miracles, even the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And it is that same God who created the heavens and the earth and all the things in them are. Behold, he created Adam. By Adam came the fall of man, and because of the fall of man came Jesus Christ, even the Father and the Son, and because of Jesus Christ came the redemption of man.
And because of the redemption of man, which came by Jesus Christ, they are brought back into the presence of the Lord. Yea, this is wherein all men are redeemed, because of the death of Christ bringeth to pass the resurrection, which bringeth to pass a redemption from an endless sleep, from which sleep all men shall be awakened by the power of God, when the trump shall sound, and they shall come forth, both small and great, and all shall stand before this bar, his bar, being redeemed and loosed from this eternal ban of death, which death is a temporal death. And then cometh the judgment of the Holy One upon them, and then cometh the time that he that is filthy shall be filthy still, and he that is righteous shall be righteous still. He that is happy shall be happy still, and he that is unhappy shall be unhappy still.
And know, O all ye that have imagined unto yourself a God who can do no miracles, I would ask of you, have all these things passed, or which I have spoken, has the end come yet? Behold, I say unto you, nay. And God has not ceased to be a God of miracles. Behold, are not the things that God have wrath, marvelous in our eyes? Yeah, and who can comprehend the marvelous works of God?
Who shall say that it was not a miracle that by his word the heaven and the earth shall be? And by the power of his word, man was created of the dust of the earth. And by the power of his word have miracles been wrought. And who shall say that Jesus Christ did not do many mighty miracles? And there were many mighty miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles.
And if there were miracles wrought, then why has God ceased to be a God of miracles, and yet be an unchangeable being? And behold, I say unto you, he had not. If so, he would cease to be God. And he sees us not to be God, and is a God of miracles. And the reason why he ceaseth to do good miracles among the children of men is because that they are dwindling, that they are dwindling in unbelief, and depart from the right way, and know not God in whom they should trust.
Behold, I say unto you that whoso believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him. And this promise is unto all, even unto the ends of the earth. For behold, thus saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto his disciples, who should tarry, yea, and also to all his disciples, in the hearing of the multitude, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature.
And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They all lay hands on sick, and they shall recover.
And whosoever shall believe in my name, doubting nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the ends of the earth. And now behold, who can stand against the works of the Lord? Who can deny his sayings? Who will rise up against the almighty power of the Lord? Who will despise the works of the Lord? Who will despise the children of Christ? Behold, all ye who are despisers of the works of the Lord, for ye shall wander and perish.
Whoa, all right, man. This lesson is intense. This really is an intense lesson. So, first question, what do we learn from these verses about God and his work in our days, babe?
Well, that he does miracles.
what I was saying, like, he created the earth and man and, like, he created everything, and those things have not disappeared. It's not like miracles have disappeared either, because I feel like if miracles weren't happening anymore, nothing would be here.
Yeah.
Because we are all here because we were made, you know, like, that's a miracle. But also, like, people still, you know, experience their own individual miracles in their lives. So that's just something to remember, too.
Yeah, no, seriously. And the second question is, what must we do in order for God to work miracles? It talked about the biggest thing that we need to do is just believe. Sounds like that's what they said, right? Just believe.
Yeah.
And have strong faith, I guess. That's the same as believe. I'm just knowing. And the third question is, what miracles have we seen? So.
Like you and me?
I was just asked, that's just what it asked. So if you guys want to take the time to ponder on the miracles that you've seen in your life, and Star and I will do the same. But actually, let's just take a little while here and ponder that. And all right, that's your little while. And just keep in mind that Heavenly Father loves you so much, and he cares so much about all of us. And he doesn't want us to feel alone or be hurt. He just wants us to learn and grow and return to live with him again. And if you're going through a rough time right now, I know Star and I are going through a rough time. And, you know, it could be tough. But just keep in mind that as you leave God to help out, leave room for God to help out, he will work miracles. as long as you believe that he can, and as you believe that he still exists and is there for you and everyone else. And so that is the end of our lesson here. I don't know if Starry has any final words she'd like to say.
I encourage you guys to close out with a prayer. We open and close our scripture studies with prayers because it just helps to invite the Spirit in with our scripture study, and to, at the end, just thank Him that we were able to feel that and that we were able to learn and grow together. So we just encourage you guys to do the same.
And we love you. That's basically the end. If you guys have any comments for us on how we can improve the lesson, or if there's anything that you want to hear more of as we talk, maybe more of our stories, maybe more about us, you can leave a comment and just let us know or reach out to us. We have several platforms that you can see more about our life. Like on Instagram, it's @TheDaringMormons. That is Daring Mormons. And you can see us on YouTube at Staria and Sign, the sign for the and Angel. So
yep. And we'll always have those linked down in the description as well for you guys to check out.
Perfect.
All right. We will see you guys next week. Don't forget to tune in.
Bye.